Blog Talk Radio.
Mighty conversation with the Black Liberation Movement Blog Talk. I want to take time and thank lovely white sister Angela for that very, very timely and relevant introduction song. As I sat here today, I was very unprepared to deal with the talk tonight, but it's almost like it's divine synchronicity, and the spirit of our ancestors reigns supreme when you connect with the right spirits, give you the right energy to push forward. That song gave me energy, that timely rendition. I could hear my ancestors crying in unison. And unity. We pay homage to our ancestors. And we do that by saying these words, oh ancestors, blacker than a thousand midnights. Oh ancestors, it is to you who we owe our respect and honor. Oh ancestors, come into conversation tonight. That anybody listening would be inspired by the words that are coming through me that's orchestrated by you. I'm nothing more than a vessel. And every day I try and make myself a perfect conduit of your energy. I try and make myself a perfect student of your knowledge and your wisdom. I try and make myself a perfect applicator of your will and your desires for our people. That is why we formed the Black Liberation movement, because it is you who gave mathematics to the world. We know you're capable, O ancestors, because it is you who gave the sciences to the world. We know you're capable. You gave philosophy and literature to the world. You gave chemistry to the world. The one that I love so much. It is you, O African ancestors, who gave God consciousness to the world. Thank you, Almighty Ancestors, for your contributions, not only to us, but to those who have stole from you. Stole from you and built a world in diametric opposition to your children. Thank you, Almighty Ancestors. It is you who I depend on. It is you who give me strength when I wake up in the rising to go on and fight in this world as a black man against all odds, standing strong. Thank you, Almighty Ancestors. Fail you, we will not betray you. Ashe. 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 Thank you, brothers and sisters. Salam alaikum. Hotep. Greetings, Black Power. Whatever it is that you want to greet, I'm greeting you in peace, but with the mighty intention of creating a conversation tonight that will inspire those who listen. You made the right move. We're going to ask you to ask somebody else, because we want to create conversation each and every time we come into your ears. We know that no action is done without a thought occurring first. Every action is preceded by thought. So we want to be the catalyst of your thought. This blog talk podcast was all under the understanding that we did not have a clear and profound black perspective. It went into the ears of our people every day. And we know we don't do this every day. We do it once a week, and that's not enough. That is not enough based on the flood of misinformation that we get every day that we turn the TVs on. We don't even have to turn the TVs on. We're going to focus on it tonight. All we have to do is send our children to the public school system, our public killing field. All we have to do is make a Sunday morning drive to the old church house. These are ways we get flooded and inundated with wrong information, miseducation, being misdirected. So we decided that we would be a clear voice. So that's why we ask you to share this. We ask you to share it with somebody else, because it's not us, it's our ancestors' petition to us that we do something to shift the paradigm, that we do something. Been in conversation all day with brothers, and I'm not being critical, but I am being forthcoming. We got to stop the knowledge debate. We got to stop. And we'll talk more about that on and to this session. We got an hour and a half, y'all. And I thank y'all for tuning in. I thank you all for tuning in. It takes the consciousness and aptitude just to tune in to something of this nature. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Our topic for tonight is what are our standards? But this is the part that I like. Have we become little white supremacists? We already got a caller just to hold on for 1 second. Let me say this. Our topic again tonight is what are our standards? Have we become little white supremacists? I have no notes tonight. It's just like always. I'm spirit driven. Recent, current, or future. These are things that automatically are inherent in me. No notes tonight. Shooting straight from the hip. Dick Gregory said, do not expect to be a part of a white supremacist society for 400 years and not become a white supremacist yourself. That's very powerful right there. Say it one more time. Dick Gregory, the late Bible, Dick Gregory, not Patrick Lumumba, not Lumumba. Dick Gregory said, do not expect to be a part of a white supremacist society and not become a white supremacist yourself. Think about that. Tell you what I'm going to do. Let's go ahead on and get this call in. They may have something that we need to talk about. Caller 1523-1523. Go ahead, caller.
My name is Yolanda Shelton, and I'm with the Southern Regional Black Panther Party, and this is my first time tuning in, and I just came in to listen.
Thank you, dear. I know exactly who you are. You're the bold sister that's heading a chapter of the new Black Panther Party in Mississippi.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So we are glad. Have you been on before, Yolanda?
I haven't. This is my first time.
And buckle your seatbelt.
Okay.
Because we may go for a ride. You hear me, sir?
Already. Yes, sir.
Already. Black power. Thank you for calling
Black
in.
Black power, black love.
Thank you for tuning in. Black power and black love.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You. All right. All right. All right. And tonight, I wasn't feeling too good, so I did reach out to the comrades and constituents that help us push this boulder up a mountain of mud that we call the Black Liberation Movement. I reached out to them, and I said, I'm going to need some help tonight. I reached out to Sister Crystal Denise, the Secretary of Information and Education of the Black Liberation Movement, has been a soldier for a long time, to help me in this conversation, the content of this conversation. So she'll be tuning in tonight and hopefully giving us a great take on these dynamics that we speak on. What are our standards today? Have we become little white supremacists? We have another caller. I want to take these callers when they call in. So, caller 0793, go ahead. Caller 0793, go ahead. Okay, apparently we have a problem. Caller 0793. Okay, well, hopefully that caller will call back later. Okay, so let's just go ahead on and set somewhat of a format for this conversation. When we begin to study our social dynamics, past, present, and future, we begin to understand one thing for sure. And then it wasn't even Fuller taught us information in debt. There are nine areas that we're going to have to contend with. Nine areas of battle that we're going to have to contend with. These nine areas of battle become our culture. It becomes our functionality. Let me see, can I quote the nine areas of battle? I think we got economics. We have education. We have entertainment. We have politics. We have labor. We have war. We have sex. We have religion. If I leave one out, left one out, then y'all let us know. And we also added health. And we also added fashion and all these things that have become part of our functionality. So when I name all those nine areas, or 10 or 11 that we had, that we named, think about what our standards are in those areas. Think about what are our standards in education, economics, politics. What are our standards? Okay? Now, let me get this caller, caller 4983. Go ahead, caller 4983.
Peace and power, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes. Who are we speaking with?
This is Camila.
Peace and blessings, Sister Camila. How you doing?
Peace and blessings. I'm doing well. I just wanted to, I know you guys haven't gotten completely into the topic, which is so vast. There's so many ways we could go with this.
Right.
But I wanted to say something that I was, or share something that I was speaking to my son about earlier with regard to white supremacy and a situation in his school with coaching and football and things.
Okay.
And I was telling my son, the coach made a comment to him. He's 15. He's 6'2", 200. He's really big. Athletics
right.
is just something that he loves. I don't personally want him to go pro, but I support him. Whatever it is he wants to do, I support that. But his coach made a comment to him, and he stated that, he said, well, Elijah, genetically, you're stronger than XYZ, who was a white student there. And Elijah made the comment. He said, of course I am. He said, I'm stronger than you, too, just, you know, being playful. But he said, Mama, I was serious.
Right.
He said a black student behind him and said, you know you ain't going to never be better than Brett Favre. You know you ain't going to never. And started pulling out all these white football players and other athletes. So my son, trust me, he handled it and he broke it down. But I just wanted to say that I think in regard to if we become white supremacists, in some ways so many have, because just like the quote you said earlier, for the most part, for so many of us, we were born into it, you know, with the ideology from our parents that, or grandparents or whoever, you know, you got to look this way, you got to be this way, you can't be a natural black woman, you can't be a you know, this type of black man, you got to be a Christian black man. You got to be docile. You got to be all these things according to a so-called American standard, which is a culturalist standard, if I've ever seen one. But white supremacy continues because black people subscribe to it. If we cancel that subscription, things change.
Wow. Exactly. Thank you, Sister Camila, for bringing that perspective. And I know you'll hang on and for the duration of the call. But thank you, sister, for calling in. And let us expound on that a bit. I wrote down a few things. And thank you, sister. Listen to what sister, she said that her son had an experience with white supremacy. And white supremacy tried to control the narrative. See, it's just like the white man that called in a couple weeks ago when we were pointing out the social injustice that we face as a race in this country of white supremacy. And we were talking about black people being killed at alarming rates with impunity. And the white man called in with the audacity to change the narrative with a blatant lie, a blatant lie. Now, just to speak to the foundation that the young brother, that Miller's son, has to have to be able to say what he said. He didn't allow the white man to control the narrative. The white man, the coach, which is a very powerful position with our boys now. I'm going to tell y'all that. You know, my son was quarterback, and now he's a coach. But that experience being a quarterback, powerful experience, and when we watch the NFL and the functionality of the NFL, let me tell y'all something. That relationship between a coach and the quarterback is essentially a father-son relationship. Okay? Psychologically, to white supremacy, that's a father-son relationship. That's why they build that position around white genetic skill set. They don't build it around black genetic skill set. They say you can't think. Like what did the white man tell us, son? Say you can't be no Brett Favre. Hell, I know Brett Favre. That motherfucker from right down there in the southern part of Mississippi, okay? From the fucking backwoods, okay? I know Brett Favre. So you telling me that our son can't aspire to be better than Brett Favre? Of course they can't in a white supremacist system. See, we got to be real. See, that's why when you tell your children you can be anything you want to be, stop lying to them because you don't control shit. When you start controlling something, then that would be accurate. But since you are out here praying and doing all these different frivolous and superficial things, hoping that your child can be anything that they want to be, to control the narrative. So her son was strong enough in his resolve to let the cracker know, hey, I ain't just stronger than him. Hell, I'm stronger than you. How about that? How about that? So, it does me well to hear those type of things because that, that lets me know that our children, Rick, is us. They have become comfortable. It's us that have become cowards, unwilling to prepare our children to control their own destiny. You prepare them for white people to be able to evaluate them on a level. That's why we're saying tonight, what are our standards? Have you become a little white supremacist? Are your standards literally white standards? Do you hate black people too? Think about it. I see it all the time. I see black leaders that hate black people. How you know that, Lumumba? Because of your actions. Because of your actions. I don't see one black politician that love black people. Okay? So, Sister Miller, we appreciate you calling in and giving that perspective on a relationship between a coach and your son, because that's a lot of our relationships. I grew up in this town that I'm sitting in now, Senatobia, Mississippi. But my son, I raised him in Charleston, Mississippi. Senatobia is a predominantly white town. So that means all the systems of functionality in Senatobia are governed with a white mindset, school system, the education system. That's why we broke this stuff down, areas of battle. The first one is education. So white people controlling your education essentially make you little white people. And you have to have something to happen to you, serious happen to you, intentionally happen to you to stop that process. So when my son was down there in Charleston, Mississippi, where he was coached by a white man but influenced by a black community, white men benefiting from coaching in black communities, that shouldn't be. There's too many black coaches out there. That shouldn't be. Because of the state championship, too, I'll never forget. But anyway, I was petitioned because of my pedigree and my family. I'm an athlete. My brother athlete. We have legacy in this town because of our athletic prowess. When they knew I had a son that was doing his thing in Charleston, Mississippi, and they would have to face him every year, I was petitioned by white people here in this town, coaches in the school system. Patrick, we'd love for Ahmad to come and play quarterback instead of Putin. Never. I even had black people come to me. Pat, you ain't going to let Ahmad be a warrior? Ahmad a warrior for real. But he's not going to be a warrior for their cause. That's right. Thank you, Sister Miller, for calling in and giving us that great information about your son, because that's the attitude that we need amongst our children, specifically our young boys. That type of mentality where they know their strength and they know that they are not just a big piece of meat, that they are cerebral as well. And that's what a white man try and make young black aspiring quarterbacks feel like they're not cerebral. They can't think. And they get these big lumbering white boys who should have their ass on the line somewhere blocking somebody for Malik and Ahmad. They need to be blocking somebody. That's what they need. About that now. Yeah, I had a whole experience with that. And now Ahmad is a coach, and he's coaching young boys. And he had been instilled with some very powerful qualities. And I know that relationship of a coach is a very powerful relationship. I just had my favorite teacher and coach pass away this past summer, Coach Ferry Bond. May he rest in power. He taught me a lot. But one thing he taught me, he said, you are a leader. Stop being foolish and playing around. He instilled that in me. And that relationship of a coach, you go ask any young man that performed in athletically, he ain't going to remember who taught him chemistry and who taught him algebra and all these different things. Yeah, of course he can remember it, but when he reflect back on his high school years, he's thinking about that male influence that he on Friday night. He listened to the instructions of. So, yeah, that's just a little breakdown of social dynamics that we deal with and our boys deal with. Thank you, Sister Miller, for calling that in. Let me move forward. Because we want to find out, are we little white supremacists? We're trying to find out, are we little white supremacists? I'm going to prove that we are. I'm going to prove that we are. People hate black people. Is that a way black people should be thinking, or is that how white people think? It's okay for us to hate each other. Y'all know that, right? It's perfectly okay for us to hate each other. We say it all the time. Them niggas ain't shit. Why don't we say that? Them niggas ain't shit. So then what are you? Black intellectuals that always talk about black people in the third person. I just want to have a mirror and just put it up to their face and be like, so what do you consider yourself? Black people need to do this. Black people need to do that. Black people did. Black people that. Who are you? How do you categorize yourself, see? See what I'm saying? But there ain't enough people out there like Lumumba who willing to stand in these people's face and say, who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are you? And what gives you the audacity to say the things that you say about people that look just like you? Oh, I get it. You a white supremacist too. And that's perfectly fine. Somebody let me know if they hear me. So, they're basically saying we done adopted these people culture. We have adopted these people's culture. He come to Mississippi and talked to me and taught me directly. He said, Pastor, culture is your customs, your values, and your norms. He said, Patrick, culture is your customs, your values, your norms, even some more stuff too. It's your interests, your principles, what you stand on. This all divides your culture. So what's the dominant culture that we dealing with? We're dealing with a culture that diametrically opposes us. And Lumumba ain't wrong tonight. I ain't going to put this up for debate like I'm wrong. We have adopted these people's culture. And we cannot develop enough moral character to develop our own humanity. Let me just tell you what Professor Small said to break it down. He said, spirituality guides your life. Culture informs your life. Culture is your primary educational system. It gives you your values, interests, and principles. If you are practicing the culture of who practiced genocide against you, listen to this. If you are practicing the culture of those who practiced genocide against you, then you will practice genocide against yourself. See how plain that is? I'm grateful that I'm humble, and I'm grateful that the ancestors have allowed me, God, with this nation. I'm talking about a little black brother from Mississippi. They don't know about it, really give a shit about. They don't know about it, really pay no attention to. They give me the opportunity to find these people. These Jews and have been teaching this for years. But it was the effort of the Black Liberation Movement. I remember going to Atlanta and watching Professor James Small exit the vehicle so that he could teach a seminar where I was on the front seat with Brother Dre Shipp. And he saw us with our Black Liberation Movement card, because it was my determination to go to these great cities and announce ourselves. We're talking about this little engine that we call the Black Liberation Movement in Coldwater, Mississippi. I don't tell motherfucking people I'm from Memphis. Coldwater, Mississippi. That's where I'm from. The belly of the beast. And I met Professor James Small, and he said, what is that? And he was pointing at our Black Liberation Movement card. We had 5,000 of them. He said, what is that? He said, announce that to the class before he even started to give his lecture. He said, and Brother Dre Shipp, Dre may be on tonight. He can bear witness to the teaching, I mean to this truth. Dre explained to him what the Black Liberation Movement was. And after Professor Small gave his presentation, which was beautiful, on African spirituality and culture, I stepped to him and I petitioned him. I said, Baba James Small, promise me that you would make a trip to Mississippi. And he looked at me and he said, I promise you and the people of Mississippi that I'm coming. And a year later, he was in Mississippi. So, let me read one more time what he said, and we're going to move on. Somebody just told me, and just texted me and told me that we are looping and repeating the beginning. Okay, Brother Captain, are we having technical difficulties?
Not to my knowledge, sir. You're coming in fine and clear on this end. I'm not hearing any feedback or anything like that.
Okay. Well, we're going to keep on pressing. And hopefully if people are getting feedback, bear with us. Hopefully that'll clear up. I just want to repeat this one more time because we're trying to figure out what are our standards. And if we find that our standards have become diametrically opposite of what they need to be, what do we have to do about that? So I'm going to read this one more time. Spirituality guides your life, but culture informs your life. Culture is your primary educational system. It gives you your values, your interests, your principles. If you are practicing the culture of those who practice genocide against you, then you will practice genocide against yourself. That means you will not love self. That means when you look at a brother or sister, you find shit to hate. You hate what they got on. You hate the car they drive. You hate how they talk. You hate how they walk. You find shit. We have a call. Bring the caller in, Brother Cap. Peace, we have a caller. Is there a caller?
Hello?
Yes. Yes.
Hi. This is your mom.
Hi. Who are we speaking with?
Your
this is
mom?
My mother.
Yes.
You listening in?
Yes, I am.
Well, I got to watch my mouth.
That's right.
Well, you know, if anybody knows how passionate I am about our people, if anybody knows. But I'm glad to know that you own. Were you calling in, Mother, with a question
yes.
or comment? Are you, okay.
No.
I'm listening.
I just want to let you know that I'm listening to you online.
Okay. Okay. That's inspiring. Thank you, Mom. I love you.
Love you, baby.
To no end. Thank you for calling in.
All right.
Stay tuned. All right?
I will.
I'm gonna try not to be so...
All right.
Vote. All right. Thank you.
That's dear. Right.
Love you. Okay. Well, y'all
bye-bye.
Just heard that.
Bye-bye.
Now, if there's anybody that can calm the mover down, it's her. So she told me to watch my mouth. So I'm going to be very of what I'm saying. Okay. All right. I'll let the spirit take me somewhere else. But anyway, I'm glad that she's on tonight. We have many talks. And that woman, that great queen mother, had been the backbone, had been my backbone. A lot of the motivation that I have, a lot of the strength that I have is directly because of her. We have many artists, me and my mother. She said, Pat, you can't save the world. I said, you try to save our whole family. So, essentially, cousin of what you are to our family. You raised me. You made me what I am. Let's move forward. Are we white supremacists in black skin? We have Sister Crystal Denise on tonight. I knew that I would be struggling with the content, and I wanted her to come on tonight and give some perspective on what are our standards. So, mm-hmm. Sister Crystal is on. Hold on, we got another caller. Sister Crystal, get ready. After this caller, we're going to have you come on. Caller, I think that was 3897. Come on in.
Yes, greetings. I'm just listening for right now. I just tuned in.
Okay, who is this?
This is Real Radio Talk.
This is who now? I'm sorry.
Real Radio Talk.
Okay. All right. Where you calling from?
North Miami.
You did? May we have a name?
Negus.
Excuse me?
Negus.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Queen. And we appreciate you calling in. And thank you for joining
you're
us.
You're welcome.
Much love. Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Thank you, dear. Sister Crystal, are you on? Sister Denise, are you on? Okay, I just got information that she is not on the line. So, y'all got to excuse me. But she's not on the line. We're going to have to push forward. I gave a format of the areas of battle that we ought to look at when we're making a determination on our standards. So we can start with any of these areas of human activity, battle, and concern. We call them the ABC. Human activity, battle, and concern. We can start with any of them. But I just got word that Sister Crystal is on now. And we'll pick up right there. Okay, so Sister Crystal, how you doing?
I'm great. How about you?
Well, I'm okay. We here now, so we have to be as effective as possible. So I was just letting people know that you were here and you was on. And we wanted you to bring some perspective to this conversation. What are our standards, Sister Crystal? And have we become little white supremacists?
Right. I just want to say I think Sister Camilla did a great job of kind of bringing us into being with her calling, comment, and statement, because I think that all of us don't think that we are have become white supremacists, and we don't understand what all that entails. We don't understand standards. We don't understand any of it, and I really like the statement that you read by Baba Smalls, because I wrote down, culture is your primary educational system. Culture is your primary educational system. And that kind of leads me into what I want to say about creating our own standards, because one of the things that I had to get out of was letting my culture define what I do, how I think, everything, really, just like you said. So when we started talking about creating our own educational institution, that was something that I had to strip away, because I do think that because our standards are based on culture and everything around us, that that's an impediment to our liberation as well. And so because when we think about doing anything, what's the first thing we do when we say we want to build our own school, and we get overwhelmed in that thought, because our first thing is to immediately think we need a building, we need to have all these certified teachers, we need to have this, that, and the other, when we don't. When we think about our relationship, what are we basing our standards on? What society tells us is what we are supposed to have, the house, the fence, the two cars and a dog, two children, whatever. And so when we think about standards, do we even think about what it is that we need from our historical perspective? Who were we before we even were even introduced into this mess? Who were we? You know, what type of people were we? What was our culture? What is the essence of who we are as Africans? You know?
Okay,
all that. So Dr. Amos Wilson told us that education is centered around the survival of a people. So what do we as Africans need to survive? What do we need? We don't need the same things that dominant culture or dominant society needs doing, because our experiences is different. So saying all that to say, stop looking outside of ourselves for our standards and look inside of who we are and what we need and our gifts and our talents and all that to create our own. We can create our own. We don't have to have a brick and mortar building. Everything is our teacher. We don't have to have, quote, certified professional. We got people with skill sets that can build a house from the ground up, you know? So
right.
Creating it and thinking about it, really thinking about who we are, the essence of who we are as Africans, and not think about job titles, not think about any of that on the ground and build our way up. So I don't know if I was clear in that, because I get really frustrated when we talk about building and the first thing we start doing is talking about what we can't do or what we going to need or who ain't going to do this and that and the other. We don't have to worry about that. Well, we just get out there and start turning those brick crumbs into bricks like we always have done in the past.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Crystal. Because you always have a great perspective on the social dynamics that we dealing with. And I'm glad that you agreed to participate in an effective way tonight to help the content of this conversation. And you made me think of something. You can hang up if you like, but you can, you know, stay on if you like. But
I want to stay on.
Keep the line alive. But if you hang up, I think we can get some more calls. So what you going to do?
I'm just going to be here, and I'll just press 1 if I want to come back in.
Okay, that'll work, because I think we have to have people off the line so the line can come through if somebody else want to talk.
Right.
Okay, thank you for that, and I want to elaborate on some things that you said. So Chris made some very valid points, and one of the most important things that she said is that we have to develop the will to do for ourselves, okay? And one of the problems, and I was just writing down as she was talking, this is a major identity. How do you know that you're a white supremacist? What are some of the buzz things that happen to make you understand that black people are white supremacists? What are some of those things? I mean, when you interact with black people, I know one thing is you don't have no problem with white supremacist shit that's done to your people. I see it all the time. When a police situation can happen right outside my place of business right now, and somebody may come in and say, "Brother Pat, they just pull Brother so-and-so over," and so-and-so. The first thing that the people around me would say, "Well, what did he do? He had to do something. Did he really have to do something?" See, you give white pass. That's one way you know that you're a white supremacist. It's because you give white supremacy a pass. You don't want to deal with the power of white supremacy, so you just put the blame on your brother or your sister. He got pulled over. Well, what did he do? He had to do something. Did he really have to do something? No, he didn't. What did George Floyd do? What did he do? Exactly. What Sandra Bland do? What did Jordan Davis do? Tamir Rice, what did they do? But see, you become white supremacist too when you say, well, what did they do? They had to do something. See, that's the part that killed me. They had to do something. See, you're so weak. So weak. What did they do? And then another thing that killed me, then we're going to get these callers that call in. Another thing that killed me, I have dealt with black professionals, especially in the school system, black professionals. That's why I don't like the term professional as it pertains to black people, because it makes me understand when you say that, you really talking about how fucking white you are. That's what you're talking about. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just, no, yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are. You're talking about a European value system that you have adopted. I have went into school system and watched black children get punished under policy carried out by black professors. And I tell them black professors, I said, you know what your professionalism is, right? Your professionalism essentially means how well you carry out white policy, even when it diametrically opposes your people. You can take that or leave it alone. So this is what you say. When a parent do come up there and question you on the merit of what you did and diametrically oppose their child, this is what you say. Well, I'm just doing my job. See? You just doing your job. You just suspended this child for 5 days because they did what? So then you do understand the ramifications of this child falling behind, right? With your professional aid. You see what I'm saying? Do y'all see what I'm saying? But you're a professional. You go home and you eat well. You don't think nothing of that. You didn't like these crackers. When they kick out here in the street and go home and eat and get paid, just like your black ass get paid for carrying out white policy. You're a paycheck slave. That's what you are. I got to watch my mouth because my mama on here. We got a call. Let the caller come through.
Hey, what's going on, Brother Patrick? Peace and black power.
Peace. It did, brother. It did, my brother.
Yes, sir. This is Eric Lyles calling in.
Go ahead, brother. You have become a part of this show. You understand? You are a part of this show, brother. I expect you to call
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Go ahead on. Speak your mind.
Man, I just had a big deja vu. I don't know what that means, but anyway. I've been listening in, man, and as usual, great topic. Everything that I've been hearing from you and Sister Crystal was definitely on point. And, I mean, for me personally, when I look at, you know, just certain conversations that I have with people, you know, you can hear them mimicking the messages that's being passed down via social media and the news and all the other ways people get informed these days. You know, it pretty much be verbatim what they said. So for me, it's just like, obviously, you're not using your own mind to think. And, you know, when you look at beauty, the standard of beauty, you know, still to this day, a lot of people still aspire to kind of take on the oppressor's standards of beauty. And that really break my heart, especially with our sisters, because they all are beautiful, man. And I hate to see them degrade themselves and bringing themselves down, you know, when they thinking they bringing themselves up. And it's kind of a slippery slope, man, because I feel like the more people feel like, I mean, the way you're expressing the issue is perfect, because I feel like the more people succeed in this world, it's like we really going backwards. And I think the way you're breaking it down, it really makes sense, because you exceeding in a white supremacist system. So obviously there's not nothing that's constructive towards our people. And I mean, it's just it's already laid out there. You know, the words that you said from Barbara Small, I think you quoted Dick Gregory. It's all laid out there, man. So I really can't add too much to that. I just I'm curious to know what the real answer is to all of this, and you know, really what we can focus on and be doing in our everyday life to fight this situation. So I'll be tuned in and sitting back listening, and if I have anything else to add or any more questions, man, I'll be calling back in.
Hit one, brother. That's all you have to do. And thank you for your input and your comment is always welcome, brother. You my brother, and we in this war together.
Yes, sir.
So thank you for calling in. Sit back and enjoy the rest of this show, brother. I'm finna hit on some stuff you just said.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir. Brother Eric Lyle of the Black Liberation Movement, y'all. That's a brother that has been supportive and a member of the movement since we jumped off the porch with this movement, okay? This young brother has a family, and he's been supportive just like Michael Deshaun. just like Clintel Nunn, just like Jayla Douglas, just like Dre Shipp, all of these young people who have pronounced ES good, and those who I am not mentioning right now for sake of my memory not being able to call you to the forefront, but I appreciate every one of you. Every dollar that you have sent has not been abused, has not been misused. Whatever we have is because of people like you who are determined and committed. So I thank you. But, brother, Eric Lyle hit on something, and he was talking about standards. And when we think about our, excuse me, our women and their standards of beauty, let's talk about that. You know, I did a live once before, and it was probably one of the most controversial lives I ever did. And I was talking about the blonde hair syndrome because I couldn't figure out. And what triggered it, I was sitting in my office one day, and two high school age girls walked past my shop, and I knew them, with long, flowing blonde hair. I was like, what's going on? That don't mean nothing. See, that's when you start to express to me that you're a white supremacist. If that don't mean nothing to you, you are a white supremacist, okay? Because it should mean something. It should mean something. How do a recessive trait that's unnatural to black women, this is a recessive trait, become your standard? We're talking about standards, right? That became the standard of beauty. So you could be black and white, blonde wig on your head, and that was considered beautiful. See, people like me who fight white supremacy got a problem with that because if our women think like that, their standard of beauty has shifted to a European standard. Then what kind of teaching are you going to teach our children? I never forget Umar made a very powerful point. I'm talking about Dr. Umar Dunn. He said that a woman and a son came into his office one day. He said that the woman had a problem with her son beginning to like or take a liking to white girls. And as Umar listened to her, he was also looking at her. And her descent for her son lacking a white girl, he's looking at this woman with long extensions in her hair, eyes that were clear contact, long lashes, thick makeup that lightened her skin. Some of y'all put makeup on so goddamn thick that you ain't even changed your complexion. You changed your whole race. You changed your whole race. You go on Facebook and you filter your whole blackness out. And I know you. And I look at you. I'm like, I just gone stroke it. That's ridiculous. But Umar looked at her and said, you sure that your son in love with white people and not you? You see? You sure your son is infatuated with white people and not you? I guess the conversation was over. But see, when our women take on a European standard of beauty, what are you left to teach the child? And I put up a meme today. It said basically, I can show you better than I can tell you. So regardless of what we're trying to teach our child, like that woman trying to tell him, her son that, hey, look, you don't need to be white, but you showing me that you love them too. You showing me that. See, I came up around a mother, and she on here tonight, and if I'm lying, call in and tell your son to stop lying. But he's not going to lie. I came up around a standard of black beauty. So when I look for a companion, a woman in my life, I look for a black woman, standard that my mama had sought for me. European standards, we're talking about standards. Then what does that do to your children? That make them adopt European standards. What is cosmetics? What is cosmetics? Cosmetics is a word that derived from costumes. See, more people don't think Lumuma this intelligent. I'm going to break this shit down. Cosmetics is a word that derived from costume. So when you put a costume on, what are you trying to do? You're trying to alter your appearance. Cosmetic is a word derived from costume. And when you put on a costume, you're trying to present yourself as something that you're not. That somebody in the world that's proud to be somebody else. Wear a recessive trait on your head and in your face. What are our standards? Have we become white supremacists? Do we have any callers? We need
Hello?
One. Yeah.
This is your mom.
Who I'm speaking with? Oh,
your mom.
You called back. Okay.
Yes, you told me
I'm
too.
I'm listening, mother. Oh, okay.
You're not lying,
well, go
baby.
Ahead.
You're not lying.
Okay. Well, that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate confirmation for me. You know, when a black woman tell you you a man, when a black woman tell you go ahead, when a black woman tell you you telling the truth, stand on that, you keep going. Other confirmation do you need? And if my mama will call in and tell me that I'm not lying, what y'all think I'm going to do? What y'all think I'm going to do? An act of Congress couldn't stop me from doing what I'm going to do. If she tell me, I told somebody the other day, I said, man, you know something. If my mama said, you go over there and you slap that damn cracker head off, guess what? That cracker don't even have to know. Mom, I hope you done hung up. But that cracker
no,
don't
I'm
even
still
have
on
to
the
know.
Line, baby.
Oh, okay, well, I'm going to ask you to hang up, please. I'm sorry. But, yeah, then get the hell slapped out of him. You understand? Because it's all about what your standard is. And that is my standard. That's my standard. That's my standard. That's my method of operation. I don't take no other instructions. You tell me you need to shut up, guess what? I might try to mum a few other things, but I'm pretty much going to shut up. Okay? So we're talking about what are our standards. How we become little white supremacists. I want to express this point right here just to make some things clear in this society that we're living in. It was brought to my attention. I'm talking about our women who have become very cosmetic and materialistic driven. Even your approach to a relationship require superficial and silly standards, meaning a man have to have six figures and your ass work at Walmart. You see? You continue to strain the black community with all these superficial, silly prerequisites and criteria for a relationship. I got you. And it is now one of them has suffered one day to eat. And it requires me having $100,000. They ate every day. They didn't get everything they wanted, but they got everything they needed. And half of the shit they want. See? Now, look what black women done did. Look what they done did. They done push a bar up on the black man who already diametrically opposed in society. And ain't nobody gonna challenge you on this. White people, Asians, Jews, Arabs, they ain't gonna challenge you on this and tell you, you know your man been decimated, right? You know your man been decimated, right? You know we economically castrated him, right? I mean, we tried to cut his balls off so he couldn't be a man. So now y'all put these great stipulations on us. But you ain't shit yourself. They're talking real talk. You ain't shit yourself. Okay? That's real talk. Are you still on? And
hey, Brother Pat, can you hear me?
Who is this?
This is Eric, man. I called back in right quick. I just had thought of something I wanted to say.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, I think you was just about to touch on something that's very critical, kind of touching on them gender wars a little bit.
Yes, sir.
I've been seeing that going on a lot, but I just wanted you to kind of expound on this thought. I kind of have been feeling like things gonna have to get a whole lot worse before they get better, and the reason why I say that is because I feel like, in a sense, like they done made all of us house niggas. So we kind of like, a lot of people realize that it's a problem, but we too comfortable in white supremacy to fight against it. And like when Sister Crystal was talking about like building from the ground up, you know, that sounds good, and it is good. That's exactly what we need to do, but what we gonna have to go through to do that, I feel like a lot of us would rather hold on to that white supremacy because they give us just enough to keep us going, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
And so I just, you know, other than this shit just playing its course and getting a whole lot worse before it get better, I mean, do you have any thoughts on that, any answers to that? And I'm going to hang up and listen to what you got to say.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you again, Brother Eric. But yeah, I have some thoughts on that. When you say it's gonna get a whole lot worse, well, it almost depends on how much worse you want it to get, or we want it to get. I hear you and feel you. You know, how much worse do we want it to get? And see, that's why we bringing this whole topic for us to weigh it out and see are we white supremacists? Because see, it can continue to get worse for black people. But if you think you're not black people, or you don't function like a black people, then it's just getting worse for niggas, not you, because you have situated yourself comfortably in a white supremacist system because you're a white supremacist yourself. You just happen to have black skin. So when you talk about getting worse, hell, it's getting worse every day, Brother Eric. So it's a matter of how much more worse is it going to get, because, hell, it gets worse every day. I'm talking about worse and worse and worse and worse and worse every day. But if we don't think like a collective, if we don't think like we a race of people that's diametrically opposed in this society, then we thinking like we're individualism, and it just getting worse for other niggas, not us. So we got a decent job. You know what I'm saying? I got a PPP loan. You know what I'm saying? That's what they saying. So it what is worse? You know, a British mathematician and philosopher named Bertrand Russell. I'm gonna say this because people think I just be popping, but I actually studied. Bertrand Russell was convicted by white people, accused of heresy, when he made a prediction about 400 years ago. His name is Bertrand Russell. Look him up, Bertrand Russell. He made this prediction about 400 years ago. Everybody listening, write his name down and look up some of his philosophy. It's a white man. But he told the truth. He said about 400 years ago, he said if the conditions of the have and the have not continue the way that they are continuing right now, 2,000 years, you'll have two different species on this planet, a civilized man and an uncivilized man. Well, that's the same thing as the Bible when it's expressing the rich getting richer and the poor getting poor. What is this? That the rich get richer and the poor get poor. And when we feed into that social and cultural dynamic, where black people in this culture Remember I'm talking about culture, what Professor Small said? When we feed into this culture, we feed into the diametric opposition of our own people, and we start committing genocide on our own self. We begin to do things like financing our own oppression. So when we get a PPP loan, which I think is nothing more than a test run of what reparation might look like, I'm going to say that again. This damn PPP loan stuff, okay, and this COVID agenda. I'm still trying to wonder what happened to the flu. You know, I'm still wondering what happened to all this shit. But when y'all get afraid and that TV on every day telling you what you got, you don't question that. So when there's a agenda run its course and you got, you know, COVID-19 and all these things shifting the function of people, you know, and then the power that be, the corporation that's taking over the government now, the corporation that's taking over, begin to control the narrative. And then the government began to incentivize the bottom rail to do what? Poor-ass black people been able to write and say they got a business and then get some money. Talking about money that they ain't never got. To see what you going to do with it. I watch us. And I see what we do with it. We reinvest back into the wealth of white people. Mr. Farrakhan called it financing your own oppression. So that's why we got to have the Ashe Academy. I hope Brother Malik Shabazz is on, because I talked to Brother Abdul Jabbar today that's building a trade school down in Houston. And I told him, we run in two different facets of education, but it's the same thing. We teach the philosophy and the theory, and we instill into our children's mind the understanding of who they are. You teaching the trade and skill aspect of that, so they once they gain the trade and skill, they go back into their community and start to build. And as Wilson said, you ain't going to be remembered by what you know. See, you're going to be remembered by what you build. And the brother Abdul Jabbar, when I was talking to the brother down there that's putting the school together down there in Houston, he was talking about what white people did because he's from Memphis. He said, they tore down this in Memphis. They tore down that in Memphis. They tore down this. They tore down that. They did this and they did that. They tore this down. They took that stack stuff out of our curriculum at Booker T. Washington and all that. I said, now listen to what you're saying, bro. You keep using the term they tore down. Why you think white people tear down black shit? Why you think Napoleon went to Egypt and knocked the nose off the Sphinx and disfigured the Sphinx? Because when you tear down black structure, our children can't see our greatness. We can't remember. It makes it harder for us to remember when we can't see. I said, how do you teach an African boy to kill a lion? Scholars will say, well, you write a manuscript and you do it by step by step. No, you don't. You take them out there. You take them out there because the manuscript ain't going to tell him what's going to happen when his pulse rate go up and he can't hold the bow or the arrow or the gun or whatever he uses, the spear. He can't hold it because he's hyperventilating. You have to teach him and touch him how to be calm in that moment. So we have to build. That's what we have to do. So with all due respect, I wanted to say this before Sister Crystal come back. They just texted me and told me she needs to come back. When I was talking about this black woman's materialistic criteria, I want to say something to black women right now. Because you are a product made by white supremacy, from your education to your economic position, your credit score, all this shit that you value. You are a product of white supremacy, and you won't do a damn thing to reverse that, okay? You won't raise no black boys that's talking about building their own because you're a product of white supremacy. You got a credit score and a good job due to your education. So you teach white supremacy to your children. But let me tell you something about yourself. You know how much you work? Let me tell you how much you work. I hope black women listen and don't take it personal. You work about $5 You're worth about $5. Well, how did you come to that conclusion, Lumumba? I'm going to tell you how I come to that conclusion. Because you know how you determine your net worth? You determine your net worth by what you own. That's W-O-W-N. What you own versus what you owe. That's O-W-E. Y'all owe way more than you own. Okay? I'm going to make it plain. I hope I hurt your feelings. You owe way more than you own. You don't even own the car you're driving. You just been economically situated where you can have a debt ceiling that can afford you that debt. You don't own the house you live in. That's what your mortgage is all about. So in net worth, you worth about $5. But you want me to have 100,000. We need to have six figures. That's a problem, y'all. That's a problem. Is Sister Crystal there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, I just wanted to add something because I think it's a sentiment going around talking of, you know, expressing that we don't care what people think about us. And I think it kind of feeds into that.
Okay.
Because I think that's some of our ego part, too, that you haven't spoken to. But when we say, I don't care what people think, do you. Don't worry about what people think. And I think that's all a facade on our part because we do care what people think. And we especially care what white people think. And the whole, what you just talking about with black women, we care about what other black women think, too, because that's why we so pressed to want a man with six figures or get married or have this, quote, perfect relationship with somebody. So, you know, we deep down do care, and we need to stop saying that to act like we do have our shit together, you know. You know, and so, because I have, you know, I do what I want. No, you don't. You don't do what you want, because if you did what you want, you wouldn't have a net worth of $5, right? You would know that there's some things that you don't need. You know, I tell people all the time, my lifestyle changed when I stopped watching a lot of TV. Everything about my life shifted. My needs and my wants shifted. And I don't even want to say I don't care what people think, because I do. Because you wouldn't be human if you didn't care what somebody thought, right? And you wouldn't do certain things if you didn't care what people thought. So we need to get out of that mentality of not caring what people think, because we need to care what people think. And then we especially need to care what we think about one another. Think about one another. What you were saying will help us get back to that village mentality, because not caring what people think, that is aiding and feeding that rugged individualism, too. So, you know, I just wanted to make that point because I think they kind of go hand in hand with each other, that not caring what people think mentality and not knowing what our standards are or being white supremacists. Because both of them do damage to us in the collective sense.
Right.
So that's all.
Okay. No doubt. No doubt. Once again, thank you, Sister Crystal, for your perspective, because you make a lot of things clear to us. Yeah, you know, that I don't care what people think mentality. What are we really saying, you know, when we say that? What are we really saying? Not, better yet, who are we talking to when we say that? See, you can't be talking to white supremacy, because you know you give a damn what white folks think. That's the reason why you tell your children to act a certain way around white folks. That's the reason why when you go around white folks, you want to do shit right. But you don't care what people think. No, tell the truth. You don't care what people who you think you better than think. Okay? That's what it is. We don't care what people who we think we better than think. okay? And you ain't better than one white person in your mind psychologically. You're not better than one. No. You see what I'm saying?
And
I don't care what they think. You ain't talk. Say what? I ain't know you
and
was
I,
still
and
on.
I, yeah, because I just want to, because I think people may not see where how that plays into this conversation, but it does, because when you really do care about what white people think, that's where your standard come from. That's who you look to for your standard. You don't look to a black person as your standard. Like, you know, white people say, oh, your natural hair is okay to wear now. So it is. So, you know, things of that nature. So, because I remember when it wasn't a thing to do, people, and natural hair ain't for everybody, or y'all need a perm, or this, that, and the other. So that whole, what you're saying, you don't care what the next black person thinks. It plays into that standard that we look for other people to be our standard instead of caring about what I think about it, you know. Because, you know, I battle in my home with this, you know. If I say something, I get a lot of pushback. But as soon as somebody white say it, you know, it's a collective problem, too. You know, as soon as somebody white say it, then it's okay to do this, that, and the other. So, you know, we do care what people think, and it do us for what our standards are. And I'm going to be quiet.
Well, like I said, you bring a perspective. And I think we need to hear black women make these type of give these type of perspectives, you know, and not the frivolous, superficial, silly thing that we always projecting and getting a whole goddamn amen corner behind. I hate that. I hate it with a passion that we'll get a whole amen corner behind bullshit. Excuse me, mom, but that's exactly what it is. Bullshit. We get a whole amen corner behind that. But then when somebody's speaking truth, everybody quiet. I get so tired of Pat. That's all he do. That's all he do. I feel it with my own family. You don't want to hear it. But don't let your ass fall on bad economic times. Okay? Who you coming to? You must think that make me feel good. That you can't hear nothing I say. But when you fall economically, I have to hear from you. During COVID, when my whole business operation shut down, didn't nobody run to me and say, you okay? You okay, brother? See? So, sticking to the script. Let's close this thing out. How much time we have? Can somebody text me and let me know how much time we have? While they doing that, let me go on and finish and wrapping this up. It was Claude Anderson. I'm sitting here, and I left this book in here from last week. Oh, man, we got 30 minutes. Y'all don't want to hear me for another 30 minutes. I don't know. Somebody please call in and eat up some of this time. I know y'all tired of me. But listen, I sit here with the book Black Labor, White Wealth. Black Labor, White Wealth. And I turn to the very first chapter, and it basically says the nature of the problem. Then it has a little foreword before you begin to read into the chapter. It says this. It isn't that they can't see the solution. It is that they can't see the problem. He said, it isn't that they can't see the solution. It's that they can't see the problem. Think white supremacy is a problem. For the most part, we don't. Starting from all these fashions of our society, let's just talk about religion for a minute. I remember when my mind and my will started to turn it. In my head, and my mom is on here, she can bear witness to this. She used to take my literature that I would read because that wasn't what she knew to be something that I needed. She was looking out for me the best she could. But I had a determination after suffering what I had suffered due to white supremacy. I watched my mother. I heard my mother cry. And I heard my mother when they incarcerated me for a crime I did not commit. Pain never left me. And I began to study white supremacy, social dynamics. And I came out of that penal institution with a different mindset. See, if I had not went through that experience, I may not be here talking to y'all today. But it was a chronology of events that brings me to what it is that I'm doing right now. Telling my mother one day, I said, I'm going up to the church. It was a Wednesday night. So I'm going up to the church. I want to talk to Pastor Bell before everybody get there. And I'm walking through his pastor's study. Nobody else there. And I asked him a very point-blank question. I was 20 years old at the time. I said, Pastor Bell, seen a ghost. But he knew my question was demanding a response. He said, like every other diffident Negro that control a pulpit and preach white supremacy every Sunday. Don't miss a Sunday preaching white supremacy. You even preach white supremacy on Black History Month. Okay? As serious I am with y'all. I don't play like that. Okay? He was diffident in his response. He said, Brother Patrick, color don't matter. That's how I know you a white supremacist. Because would not color matter to white folks? See? Would not color matter? Because color matters to white people. Imagery matters to white people. Study psychology. Imagery matters. You're talking about the most supreme and divine entity in the world, and I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it because that's what it is to me, a it. A tool that white supremacy used to indoctrinate Black people. When I'm looking at a picture of what Michelangelo concocted that y'all call Jesus Christ, the craziest shit you ever want to experience. We under complete influence of that. So I asked him at 20 years old, I said, what color is Jesus? I hope y'all hearing me. And he was diffident. I could feel his diffidence. What is diffidence, Brother LeBouc? That's the opposite of confidence. He was diffident in his delivery. He said, Brother Pastor, color don't matter. I said, well, if it don't matter, you need to take that one down up there. That when I have to listen to you, I'm seeing him over your head. That it over your head. That tool over your head. You need to take that one down. And if you don't take that one down, you won't see me no more. Now, that's a resolve right there. That's a resolve. I had the resolve at 20 years old. I get these brothers all the time. Knowledge pontificate. You ain't got no resolve. Your ass worked for white folks. I had resolve. My mama made sure. And she didn't understand me 100%, but she made sure. She knew. This boy ain't going to work for no white folks now. Here you go. You take this right here, and you do what you can do with it. That's what she told me. So when y'all sit here and y'all hear my voice, you ain't hearing no product of no education and all that shit. You hearing a product of life. I mean every word that I say. I got people that depend on me. Man, is it like my shirt say? It said, my favorite people call me dad. That's what my shirt say. My favorite people in the world call me dad. And they dependent on me. You go right ahead, brother, Captain Maurice. Go right ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Commander. And just to add on to the topic that we're speaking about, you know, we look at things every day. We have a decision to make. Are we going to be some good to ourselves and our people, or are we going to be some good to our enemy? And those decisions that we make on a daily basis, and we have to understand that every time that we go along with a system that we know is wrong, that we know is diametrically opposed to our being, then we are aiding the enemy. We are helping them. Therefore, so if you're going to help them, then you must be one of them. There was an interview that they asked Barack Obama when he was running for president on 60 Minutes. They said to him, at what point did you decide to be black? He asked him that straight out. At what point did you decide to be black? And that was a very pivotal question, because what in that question it says that prior to you making that decision, you wasn't living a black life. You wasn't going the way that black people go. But now that you're deciding to run for the big office, you're deciding to be more black. Why did you make that decision? See, the cracker know to ask these type of questions, because the cracker know what you don't know. See, war, and this is one of those areas, non-areas of battle that you talked about.
That's right.
Is deceit. War is deceit. So in order for you to defeat the enemy, you got to trick your enemy to think you're going left when you're actually going right. So the enemy gave you a politician that looked black, that when he talked, you say, okay, I can listen to a black man. But his actions,
yes, sir,
were not black actions. His actions,
yes,
if
sir.
You compare his actions to the actions of George W. Bush, they look damn near the same. They look damn near the same.
Yes,
but he walked in giving you a slogan called change. Now, he never defined what change is, but you defined it. You see, this was a psychological operation right in front of your face. He said a word, change, and then whatever that word meant to you, whatever that word meant to me, whatever that word meant to us, we internalized it as this is what he's talking about. And that wasn't what he was talking about. That wasn't what he was talking about. So we gotta begin to make right decisions based on us being black first. We have to make right decisions. We got to wake up every day and say, I'm not going to sell out to the enemy. I'm not going to punk out to the enemy. See, because when you in that situation and the cracker is about to do something and you start this, oh, Mr. Man, I'm sorry, boss, you know, and you start doing that, you feed his ego. You feed his ego. Don't feed your ego. Destroy it. Stand up to them like a man and say what need to be said. And don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, because they don't worry about you. They wanna be able to make an example out of you so that they can go home to their wife or to their husband and brag about, you should have saw how I had them niggas hung up. You should have saw how I made them niggas nervous. No. Don't feed their ego. Because in reality, like that sister said about her son, when he said that I'm better than you, you are better than them. You are better. You're physically better. Morally, you're better. Don't walk around with the idea of this equality foolishness. There's no way we can be equal to a dog. No way. When you look at these demons and look at their behavior, you really want to be equal to that? as Brother Patrick has told many, many times, these demons do not have any morality.
None.
Any morality.
None.
Do you want to be equal to something like that? You got to ask yourself these real questions. And then you got to begin to clean up. You got to begin the clean up process. Because you have submitted to a demon. And because you submitted to the demon, then he'll make you into a demon. That's why the enemy never want to give you strong black men to look up to. Because you got strong black men to look up to, damn it. Then he'll make a man out of you. He'll make a
That's
God
right.
out of you.
That's right.
But the enemy
That's
never
right.
wants that in front of you. Never wants that.
Right.
But you got to want it. You got to want it. You got to be able to vibrate. You know, there's a saying that says, make all men and boys join the FOI. And that's a thing where people wonder, well, what does that mean? Well, Brother Patrick, I think we need to make all men and boys join the Black Liberation Movement. Not ask them, but make them.
That's right.
Make them. If you're a man, if you love yourself, if you love your people, if you love your mama, your daddy, your children, then you would be here with us.
That's right.
Anything
That's
less
right.
than that, you don't love.
Yes,
you don't love. You're on the side of the crack.
Yes, sir.
It's accountability time. Where you
That's
at?
That's right.
Where you at and what you going to do? Because the train is moving. We got motion. We got order. Well, you think you're going to wait on the sideline to tell Brother Patrick and us we get all the work done? Then you're going to come and say, here I come. it don't work that way. Don't work that way.
That's right.
You got to get your ass
That's
off
right.
the sideline and get into the mix. You got to show
That's
up
right.
and be present. You got to show up and be present because you can be present every day when you go to work. That tracker makes sure your ass is there. And you're going to pay a punishment if you're not. See, the cracker make good niggas out of us because we get up and go to work on time and please master. But when
right.
it's time to come out to the meeting, when it's time to come out and do your part, where are you? Where are
That's
you?
That's right. Right.
Where's your
right.
where's your body then? See, we ain't having no foolishness. We ain't having no foolishness. You either is or you ain't. Simple as that. Simple
Dead
as
like
that. Because we ain't got time. There's work to be done. We're at the rising of a new reality, and it starts and begins with you. With you. Why you don't want to be a part of this new reality? Why you want to sit back and let somebody else carry your weight?
That's right.
See, you know how to work good for the cracker, but you find to be invisible when it's time to work for yourself.
That's
when
right.
When it's time to show up and be accountable, to be responsible. See, in the movie Fences, when Denzel was talking to his son, his son said to him, Daddy, why you don't like me? Denzel said, what? Liking your black ass wasn't part of the bargain. He said, but look here. What you need to be worried about is how they treat you. Because they owe a responsibility to you. He said, when I go to work and on Friday and I get my check, the cracker ain't giving me my check because he's my friend. He's giving me my check because he owed me. That's a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
He said, don't worry about who don't like you. You better make sure they keep their responsibility to you.
Mm.
And when we look around and ask ourselves, has this enemy's world kept it's responsibility for you, who they negligently call you a citizen. Do they keep you a responsibility to you? Hell no, they don't keep it. And they never plan on it. So the question has to be, are you man enough to keep your responsibility to your people, to your family, and make the enemy bow down? Make the enemy off their post. Snatch their ass off. Are you man enough? Because that's the time that we are in now. If you came for the holding up a sign that say I'm a man and walking around saying no justice, no peace, that time is gone. That's gone. That time is dead.
That ain't
dead now. Now we're at the time, it's time to engage. These motherfuckers bleed just like you will bleed. Just like you will bleed.
That's right.
The day of sitting there, standing there, and watching the police kill our people, and we do nothing, that day is over. That day is over. And you better understand it. Because your ass, you better get familiar with the word accountable. You better get familiar with it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because when the men, and we are here, we're going to hold your ass accountable. So you get that knock on the door and say, well, you didn't do right. You need to come on outside. We need to have a conversation. We need to have a conversation.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That's the time it's in. And we ain't playing. We ain't playing. So all you weak-hearted niggas, all you weak-hearted ones that want to claim to be what you're not, you better go find some strength somewhere because accountability will find you.
Yes,
and it ain't looking to play with you.
Yes, sir.
Because
yes,
we
sir.
Got our women, we got our children, we got each other, that we have to make sure that the future generations, that we lay a base for them to build on. And they can't build on a rotten foundation built on lies and fake white supremacy. They can't build
on that. Yes, sir.
We've got to make it real. We've been taught by the best. We've been taught by the best. We've been knowing for over 80 years that the white man is the devil. For over 80 years, we've been knowing that. We've been knowing that we got to separate and build for over 80 years. But it ain't been done. It ain't been carried into practice. And why is that?
That's right.
There's a lack of wanting to take responsibility. So you run from the work.
That's right.
But there ain't no more running today. There ain't no more running today. Ain't no more sideline today. Today is a new day. If your ass ain't going to be good on top of the ground, then goddamn it, you'll be good under the ground. Make your ass into some goddamn soap. Make you into some damn soap.
That's right.
Because the men, the gods are present today. And we ain't playing. And we ain't playing. You watching.
Yes, sir.
Better yet, you better come out and join and be a part of that number so that way your future will be guaranteed. Because
guaranteed,
it's either with us or it's with them. And if you align yourself with them, you're going down with them. Mark my words, you will go down with them. Your children will turn from you because you're a goddamn coward. Your wife will leave you because you're a goddamn coward. Ain't no sidelines today. I thank you, Brother Commander, for allowing me to come in just to say those few words.
Well, you did what needed to be done. As a man that was hearing a man-sized conversation, Captain, you responded with a man-sized response. And I hope that any men, black men, that listen to Captain Maurice Muhammad, who had made it his business to come to Mississippi and situate himself here for this mighty work that we're talking about, can go forward in practice, not theory. We passed the theory. We're talking about in practice. Y'all don't believe we can build a black township? Stick around. The influence of the black liberation movement will permeate Mississippi. We will make Mississippi the model example for the nation. That's the spirit that we harbor here. That's the spirit that we harbor here, why our ancestors suffered the most, still here. We don't run from fight. We run to them.
That's
we in
right.
war. We in war. And I'm grateful for the man-sized response of a brother like Maurice Muhammad. Not no reaction. That's just your emotion. I'm talking about your response. That's an emotion plus an action. See, Khalid Muhammad explained racism. He said, racism ain't just what you silly Negroes think it is. Prejudice. No, racism is prejudice plus power. It's prejudice plus power. You see? So, we don't just react. We got to respond. John Henry Clark said, we have not responded to none of the atrocities that have befell us. We have not responded to the that have befell us. What has happened, then, Brother Lumumba? What has happened? We have got comfortable with our oppression. We have got comfortable with white supremacy. We, it's just like Novocaine. Y'all don't remember Malcolm talking about the dentist and the Novocaine. He injects so much Novocaine in your mouth. He starts going in there, tearing all kinds of shit up in your mouth. Blood everywhere. You don't feel nothing because you numb. You numb. When we come to wake you up.
That's right.
The black liberation movement comes to wake you up. We ain't just somebody shouting what we shout. It's intelligence behind what we do. See, the problem has been with our people, we've been intelligent. We've been wise. We've been solid. But we ain't been courageous. We ain't had will and determination. We ain't had that. See, we got education. Y'all got education. But you can't deal with these goddamn crackers. You can't deal with them. Why? Are you afraid? You're afraid. When I look at my daughter, I want her to be happy every day. Think about that. I want her to be happy every day. And anybody that impedes her happiness, what is that worthy of? See, all you have to do is switch the shit right around and see what happens if you impede the happiness of little white children. What happened to your ass?
Come on, man.
Okay? That's all. That's all you have to do. So then, y'all just going all out the way. No, we ain't. We perfectly aligned with what must be done. We perfectly in tune with universal causation. And I just created that term. Okay? I create terms to justify what we're supposed to be doing. The universal causation. Okay? Let's say this and we done. I heard a white man say this right here, and it never left my mind. For all you black white supremacists, our topic is, what are our standards? Have we become little white supremacists? Of course we have. Because if we have not, we will have a fear power with white supremacy. We ain't got no power mm-hmm. with white supremacy. If we have not become little white supremacists, we will have a fear problem with this stuff that's going on.
Right.
But we ain't. And this is what Father Flagler, the white man, said concerning the America that you have become comfortable with. He said these words. He said that America was conceived in genocide. That means it was born. The very nature of this country and its function was born in genocide. It was built on slavery. Built on slavery. And it is dedicated to the maintenance of white supremacy. Fucking back. That's why you give in. That's why you become one. Well, you ain't listening to them.
Right.
You ain't listening to Nate. I want to thank you all for tuning in to our fourth broadcast. Tell a friend to tell a friend about our broadcast on Wednesday night. We will not back down.
That's right.
These are our airways, and we have our show. We have our platform here. So if they want to become a part and hear what it is that we are doing, not just talking about what we are doing, it encourage them to tune in on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock because we are black first.
Black first.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. See, y'all got to get that out of your mind. I was talking to a brother just the other day. I said, man, politics ain't nothing but racism. That's all politics is. You don't have politics without racism. Black politicians are racist against black people.
That's right.
Now, let's have that conversation. First of all, let's have that conversation. You must be a Muslim. You must hate white people. Man, get your little frivolous ass out of my face. I'm real. And you not. You done figured out how to meander around the real questions. You done figured out how to slide around, and you think you're going to deal with me with some little folly question like that?
Huh.
That ain't going to happen. So with that being said, thank y'all for tuning in. Brother Maurice, go ahead and close us out.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Commander. As we always say, you kill the nigga in you, I'm going to kill the nigga in me, and our God will reign supreme. We are black first, today, tomorrow, and forever. Assalamu alaikum, peace and blessings. Shalom.
Peace and
power.
Black power.